Good morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16. We're only going to look at one verse, verse 24. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here this morning to be in your presence and to just connect with you in prayer. And in worship, and to read your word and be encouraged by your word. And I pray, God, that you would come and speak to us today. We just submit ourselves to you. We humble ourselves before you, and we thank you that you've given us this new day, God. We give this day to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. In the NIV version, it says gracious words are a honeycomb instead of using the word pleasant. Anytime I read the book of Proverbs, I often find myself drawn to these verses about the importance of our speech, the kind of words that we use, the kind of things that we say to people. And I think for as long as I can remember, I've been very conscious of the kinds of words that I use to people. And I've tried to be intentional about the things that I say. And maybe it's because I am a words of affection kind of a guy. You know how we have different love languages, and some people say, oh, I don't care about words. I think they're lying, to be honest. I think everybody cares a little bit, at least, on words of affection. But I'm big on words of affection, both giving and receiving, how I give love and how I receive love. And so this has always been something that is big on my heart. So once again, this morning, when I was reading through the book of Proverbs, my one-year Bible reading plan, I was drawn to this passage. So I just wanted to encourage us with this verse. Even if you're not a words of affection kind of a guy, we have to admit that words are powerful. It's scriptural, right? In the scriptures, it says words, there is life and death in our words, in our speech. And James spends a good chunk of his book in the New Testament, talking about the importance of words and the power of our tongue and how important it is that we use words carefully to glorify God and to encourage other people. So I want to ask us this morning, don't you want to be a man and a woman of God that bring sweetness to people and to bring healing to people? Right? That's what the verse says today. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the body. When we talk about the soul, it's our mind and our will and our emotions. And with our words, the things that we say to people, we can bring them sweetness in their soul, right? In their mind, we can encourage them. We can put a smile on their face. We can undo as we go through life, there's so much negativity that comes at us, and we can undo some of that with the things that we say to other people. And in turn, as we bring sweetness to a person's soul, that can also affect the body, right? Because we know that we're connected. Our soul, how we feel and how we think is connected to also our body and actually how we feel physically. So it's all connected. And so I say yes. You know, I want to be a man of God that can offer sweetness to a person's soul, especially someone that doesn't know Jesus Christ, to be out there to kind of encourage them and say, and through my words to bring them a little closer to Jesus Christ, and also in the church, right, to offer this kind of encouragement and healing to people. So how do we do that? How do we bring sweetness to the soul and healing to the body? By using gracious words, by speaking gracious words over people. So then the question is, what is it? What is meant by the words gracious words? What does that refer to? And I think for many of us, we probably have an intuitive understanding of what gracious words are, right? If we designed some kind of a test, you know, and we gave an example of some sort of wording, some phrase, and then I said, is it gracious or not gracious? And we had a Facebook test, you know, you could click through. I'm sure many of us would get most answers correct. We know intuitively, man, that those are gracious words that are coming out of that person's mouth, or those are nasty words, ungracious words that are coming out of that person's mouth. But we want to go a little deeper, right? So I went ahead and looked at the Hebrew definition of the word gracious or pleasant. And the Hebrew word, no idea how to pronounce it, but it's N-O-A-M, Noam. And the meaning that it carries is kindness, favor, delight, and pleasure. Kindness, favor, delight, and pleasure. And it's only used 7 times in the Old Testament, but 3 of the times it talks of the favor of God. 4 of the times. 4 times it talks of the favor of God, right? The word favor is this word that is used, Noam. So it's related to the favor that God has over his people. I think twice it's used in this way, pleasant. And then once, something like that. I might be getting the numbers wrong. But once it talks about the beauty of God. The beauty of God in the Psalms. And it says, one thing I desire, you know, to dwell in the house of the Lord and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. That word beauty is used here in this word Noam. So when we look at that, the Hebrew definition of that, I think it gives a little bit more understanding for us to know what kind of words are gracious words. And the way I'm looking at it is gracious words are words of grace. Right? Gracious words are words of grace. And when we talk about grace, grace is really the unmerited favor that we receive from God. And so when we think of gracious words, I think it's words that offer this kind of grace and favor to other people, especially the kind of grace and favor that we have received from the Lord. Right? So you have to ask yourself, what are the kinds of words that God speaks over you? Right, what kind of grace does God display over you? Right, God is so gracious and kind with us, right? And he has favor over us that is unmerited. We haven't done anything to earn it. And yet when God sees us full of mistakes and full of failure and full of sin, he still offers words of grace to us. And I think that's the kind of thing that we are called to offer to the people around us. You know, when people fail us, when people annoy us or make us upset, we have the opportunity to offer grace to that person. Sometimes, you know, you receive an email. Recently, I received an email, and sometimes you just get upset. For whatever reason, the email, I mean, it's very difficult to tell over email what's the intention of that person. But sometimes, whatever, they didn't put any smiley faces, they didn't put an exclamation point, they didn't do something, and so you just receive it, and you're like, hey, man, what is this attitude that is coming out of the email message that I've received? And you want to respond a certain way right away, but you need to stop and say, Lord, give me grace. You've shown me so much grace. God, you've given me so much grace. How can I offer grace to this person that maybe has offended me through his or her email? Yeah, I mean, for me, when I think about how much God has revealed his grace to me, I just think, man, I mean, how can I not offer grace and favor to others and kindness to others? No matter what they say, no matter how much they might offend me. And, you know, I'm not, you know, obviously, as you know, I fail all the time, right? It's not like I'm saying, oh yeah, I offer gracious words to everybody every time. But I'm just reminded as I read this, man, how quickly can I get upset at someone and then lash out, especially in Hong Kong with taxi drivers, right? Do you guys know? Even just yesterday, we were late for our shuttle bus to the MTR, and I knew that if I missed this bus, then we're going to miss the MTR, and then I was going to be late 10 minutes more than I was already late to the EMP. So I was like, oh, I got to get a taxi. So my wife and I, we got into a taxi. But the taxi driver, you know how sometimes taxi drivers have their phones and then they're always talking to different people to get different information about rides and stuff. And I felt like he was slow because he was doing all this talking. So I kind of was like, hey, can we go faster, please? But it happened to be a red light. So he was kind of, I think he was a little offended too. It's like, this is a red light. And I wanted to lash out. I wanted to just be like, yeah. But I didn't. I was like, I know, red light, thank you. No problem. I was trying to be nice, but all anxious. Anyway, in those times, I could lash out. I could say, whatever, you know, just be angry and not offer grace. But when I was reading this today, I was reminded of that yesterday and how easily I could have gone the other way. And I wasn't even that good yesterday. But I'm just thinking, man, how much has God shown me grace, and why is it so hard for me to offer that same kind of grace and favor that he has shown to me? And if I were to be able to do that, how much more would I be able to encourage people and bring that kind of sweetness and healing to people in their hearts if I can be careful with my words? In Proverbs 15:26, the same wording is used. Evil plans are an abomination to the Lord, but pleasant words are pure. Gracious words are pure. It's the same Hebrew word. It's only used twice in the three times in the book of Proverbs, but twice it's used in the same kind of way. Pleasant words, gracious words are pure. So when we look at that, gracious words are pure words, meaning it comes from a pure motive. I think Pastor Sam talked about this when he was talking about the Beatitudes and how those that are pure in heart is able to, I forget what he was talking about, but he was saying this next part of the Beatitude was connected to being pure in heart, because without being pure in heart, you can't really actually offer this good thing. And I think it's the same thing. When we offer gracious words, it needs to be from a pure motive. It can't be from false humility, you know, like we're just trying to pretend to be someone we're not by being extra gracious, or not with a self-seeking heart of trying to maybe be prideful and saying, hey, you make me mad, but I'm a bigger person than you. Let me give you gracious words. And all the while, just kind of self-seeking, like I'm a better person than you. I'm a better Christian than you. I'm more holy than you. That's not, that it can't come from that agenda, because it needs to be pure. And also, I was thinking, gracious words, it doesn't mean empty flattery, right? Gracious words doesn't just mean somebody does something wrong, but you just say, oh, you're okay, that's fine, and always condoning things and flattering people without even speaking truth. Pastor Sam always says, right, we're not called to be peacekeepers, but to be peacemakers. So at times, we need to maybe confront people and speak truth to someone, but it doesn't mean because you speak truth to someone that you're not being gracious, right? I mean, tie it back to the favor of God. When God has favor over us, yes, He has love and grace for us, but He also speaks truth and He convicts us and says, you need to turn away from that. Even though you're doing this that is bad, I still love you and I still have grace for you. And so I think in the same way, gracious words doesn't just mean that we have to be peace-loving and just not say anything that's going to offend anybody. It just means we have to do it in a way that is uplifting and encouraging. Another quote that Pasim always says is, any fool can tear a barn down, right? But it takes a master craftsman to build something beautiful. What is he saying? Any fool can look at someone and he or she can tear that person down by pointing out all their mistakes and all their sinful behavior and all the things that are messed up with them. That's easy for anybody to do. We can look at anybody, any of our friends, and say, man, that person has this issue and this issue and this issue. We want to put them in a box. You know, we take personality tests. I'm just kidding. We want to put people in, you know, we just want to label them. It's easy for us to do that. Easy for us to say, oh, this person is wrong. They have these problems. But if we were to speak that out, we're just tearing that person down. It takes a master craftsman to build that person up. So it's easy to see what's wrong with them, but how can we get them out of that and encourage them to grow? And that's where gracious words take place. You know, it's not just letting them be. Another thing that I heard that I thought was very, very helpful for me in my speech is, you know, Jesus talks about how can you take the speck out of your brother's eye when you have a plank in your own eye. And we've been taught here at SP that the first thing you need to do is to take the plank out of your eye, to take care of yourself. And when you have taken care of yourself, you can offer to help take a speck out of someone's eye. That it is okay at times to judge a person, but you need to make sure that you've taken care of yourself. And I agree with that. But I was talking to a brother a long time ago, and he said something. He said, yes, you need to take the plank out of your eye, and that's fine. If you take the plank out of your eye, you examine yourself and you look at somebody else and you see that speck out of that person's eye, it's good to go and try to take the speck out of that person's eye. But how do you take a speck out of a person's eye? You do it very carefully, right? Because if you mess that up, you're going to blind that person. You're going to do serious damage to his eye. And so he was saying, when we try and do this thing, we have to do it very carefully in a way that's not going to bring damage, further damage to the person, but it's actually going to help that person out. And so I think those are kind of examples to help us understand what is gracious words. How does God speak gracious words over us, words of favor and words of grace? And, you know, we have received freely from the Lord. So how can we not offer the same to those around us that maybe are hurting us or offending us or annoying us? Or we just see people in the world and you just know that they need a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of favor, a little bit of grace. And so, just want to encourage you. You know, we talk about the Holy Spirit, the dove, and how we don't want to let the dove fly away. And one of the ways I believe the dove flies away is when we speak ungracious and nasty words to people. That is grievous to the Holy Spirit. And let us be people that keep the dove on us, you know, by using good speech and by encouraging people with our words. So Pastor Andrew is going to come and lead us in a song. Let's just kind of give our hearts to the Lord and give our speech. Let's surrender our speech to the Lord. Let's come before the Lord in repentance if we haven't done that. And let's just pray once again and say, Lord, I want to give you my speech and my words, my tongue, and help us, God, help me to be a person that uses gracious speech. So let's pray before, let's go before God.
I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. I will love.
I was just reminded, you know, Pastor Ricky is going to be preaching this Sunday about, from Matthew, about how anger is connected to murder. And, you know, Jesus says, if you call your brother Raka, right, a fool, that's the equivalent of murder. And it's something that we say, right? We say that to somebody, and he's saying that's the same as, you know, murdering that person. But I want to, probably the reverse could also be true. If somebody is dying and somebody is so suffering and not doing well, and you speak a word of encouragement and you say, hey, you're a child of God, or you're loved, God is with you, I'm with you, I love you, I support you, maybe that is like giving someone life. And there's something so powerful about the words that we use in our speech, and God has given us that kind of power in our speech and in our words. And so God, I just pray that this today and this week, Lord, that we would be able to speak words that are life-giving to others, that are healing to people, God. And I pray that you would help us to be people of grace, God, so that it's natural and easy for us to offer words of grace because we are gracious people. So God, I pray that you would transform us this morning and this week just from the inside out, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just need you. We need you, God. Let's pray together for our community. Let's pray for those that are going through cancer or going through chemotherapy. Let's pray with them. Let's pray for the power of God, the miracle of God. Help and pray that they'll be able to fight in this time, fight the cancer. So let's pray together. Let's go to the second slide. Pray for those that are going through a serious illness, but also in need of salvation. Let's pray for the mercy of God to be revealed in their lives. Let's go to the third slide. Let's pray for those in our community and family members that have various infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing and God's grace, God's miraculous power over our friends on this list. Let's go to the fourth slide. Let's pray for those that are looking for a job. Let's pray for favor and provision from God. And let's pray for breakthrough for them. Let's pray together. Let's go to our Friday prayer focus. Let's pray for our mission focus for Japan, Pastor Sophia. And there is a trip coming up at the end of July to Kyoto to minister with her. So let's pray for her and the trip. Let's pray for SP Seoul, Lin Sung, and Janice as they are kind of leading that small group. Let's pray that they will stay faithful and they will hear from God as to the next steps, and pray for Cambodia, Oasis House, which is kind of the inner healing counseling ministry center that Pastor Jenny is running. So let's pray for this as well. Let's pray for the Missions Council. Pray that they will be able to hear from God very clearly about different, you know, missions endeavors in our church. That will be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and that they would do an excellent job of caring for and loving our missionaries. Let's pray for our Missions Council. Let's pray for our local outreach ministries. That's all listed in there. Let's pray for our leaders for the each type of ministries, and pray for very fruitful and powerful, significant ministry to flow out of these different groups. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our Friday evening gathering. So there's SPU happening tonight and intercessory prayer team meeting tonight. So let's pray for a really good time of these things. Let's pray for the Kupang mission trip. They are in the middle of it, so let's pray for a really powerful trip, and they will finish strong, and God will move in amazing ways. Let's pray for our Indonesia mission trip. Father God, thank you. We lift up all these things to you. I thank you that you hear our prayers. Lord, give us strength for the day. God, I pray that we will glorify you today in everything that we do. And we just want to submit to you our hearts and our lives, our time, and everything that we have. And thank you that we can have this time with you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.